It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey everyone, welcome to our bonus edition of Strange Indeed, dedicated to the Great British Baking Show. I'm Rima.
I'm Wendy.
And I'm Greg.
In this episode, we are covering Great British Baking Show, Collection 12, Episode 9, Patisserie Week. Also, semifinal week.
Yes.
I feel like Patisserie Week is a really good week for very late in the season because it has to showcase so many different elements and skills. And then everybody's just like, oh, here's how I can up my game. If you had Patisserie Week like week two, you'd be like, ugh.
Yeah.
Crap. You have a bunch of poo from several people.
Yeah, and I also feel like it's a challenge that really you have to be pretty skilled. I think, you know, I think we'd see more disasters if Patisserie Week was earlier in
right.
I think for some, maybe not all, maybe that's a wrong assumption to make, but I know it can be more of a difficult challenge because of the pastries and the delicacies.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll get into it. I guess we should do the recap first, because I obviously have some thoughts.
I can't wait to hear those thoughts. quick recap of where we left off of last week was 70s week. So Georgie, oh my gosh, words are hard today. I apologize. Georgie won Star Baker last week. She had a fabulous week and came out on top. But then unfortunately we had to say goodbye to Aline. She just had some struggles there with her structures. Like, I think everything else, she knocked it out of the park. Her flavors are always amazing, but she definitely had some struggles with her structures, just not being up to where she needed them to be, and unfortunately had to go home. So that then brought us into Patisserie Week, which, yes, is always kind of one of the last remaining challenges in Bake Off. So starting with our signature bake, they had to make breakfast pastries. They needed to make two batches of breakfast pastries. And they had a little bit of a special initiative this week that we haven't seen before, where they were allowed to come in and make their dough. They had an hour to get their pastries and dough ready, and then have them ready for the next day. So that way, I guess they didn't need, you know, that additional time. So that way they had, I guess, enough time dedicated to actually put to the pastries, because they were talking about how difficult and
I think specifically the proving was the most important thing, was to be able to give them the opportunity to prove overnight. And thank God. I mean, I think for a challenge like this, you really have to, like, you have to give them that extra time.
Right. Otherwise, you're going to have a 6-hour challenge for your signature and then a technical. And that's just too much.
Yeah, well, I feel like maybe even 6 hours isn't enough. Like, if the dough proved overnight, they were saying this is like the toughest challenge that they've put on bakers ever. Like, that's pretty intense.
And that's just their first proof.
Right.
Yeah. And I think they all struggled with the signature.
All of them, yeah. Of them were, it was, hey, I need time to what was it that like the voiceover was, every minute they spend proving is one less minute they have available to bake. I was just like, oh God, everybody was underproved. Everybody, it was either underproved and then baked at a higher temperature, so it concertinaed, or I think that was specifically Georgie. And then Georgie did like the crazy cross lamination that mm-hmm. made it even like I don't even know what it was supposed to look like.
Right. Alone, like what they were really pretty. They were.
I mean, her chocolate apons were phenomenal looking.
Well, we could start by talking about Jill. She did one of hers was sausage, and the other was banana and custard.
That sounded really great. That sausage roll looked delicious.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised that there were no giggles when Prue said, "Your sausage is rather large, and but I like a large sausage." I was just like,
yeah.
Oh boy. No, it was like those sausage rolls looked really good. And oddly enough, not the one that I wanted to try the most, which was crazy.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm normally a sausage or meat guy, right? And I don't want to step away from Jill, but the Gruyere Za'atar Danish that Christian said, like, I was like, oh, I mean, I love me a cheese Danish.
Yeah, and you had me a Gruyere.
A savory cheese Danish. Oh my god, like that sounds phenomenal. Yeah. The banana and custard, like, and I think this is something that, and I'm kind of bouncing all over the place here, but so they each one or you know, one of the two had to have it either filled or topped. So you had to have a filling or you had to have a topping. And I think that very specifically, like Paul called out Dylan for, hey, you're going to laminate all these and then you're going to fill it after it's baked. And I guess that Georgie had filling and then baked it with the filling in it, but I'm not sure how you would put like a creme pat in it beforehand and then bake it. Like the chocolate I get, but a creme pat.
I think it was in the center. I don't think it was like enclosed though, right?
I thought it was enclosed.
Maybe,
that's why,
maybe it was. In the croissant. Yeah.
I think it was enclosed, and I don't know how she got it in there. If it was baked.
Well, no. So Jill, specifically, the custard and the banana went on top because it was the custard was on top, and then the banana, the sautéed bananas, or flambéed, or what's it called when you use the blowtorch? Brûléed banana.
Yeah, brûlée.
So Jill's was like that, right? It was topped.
Yes.
But Georgie had the chocolate inside, and chocolate baking inside would be fine. But if you're going to put a creme pat in there, I just don't know how you would bake it long enough and not like dissolve the creme pat.
I don't think I remember seeing her put it together. You know, we see some things and we don't see everything else. And I don't recall seeing her put those together to see where, because I think that was a big thing about Dylan's, right? That Paul kind of had a problem with was he's like, if you bake them and then you inject his filling, it was going to destroy whatever lamination that he had managed to achieve with his bake. And he's like, and he's kind of looking at him, you know, and he's like, you know, you're going to destroy that. And he's like, are you, you know, and Dylan was kind of like, well, yeah, I can kind of hide it. But Paul's looking at him like, well, that's not what we would, you know, that look that Paul gave him. And I'm just like, I think I'd fall over dead if Paul looked at me like that. But, you know, Paul's kind of giving him this look like,
yeah,
well, we got to see what you're doing on the inside, right?
Yeah. And if you think about it, so they've known about the challenge for a while. They've been practicing for at least a week, if not longer. And so it has to be so defeating to have practiced all week on something and then get to the table getting ready to start. And then Paul's like, you're doing what?
And
are you sure?
And trying to do it in 2 hours instead of three.
Yeah.
What it feels like is that Dylan really kind of just like once he found out he had 3 hours, he was like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to relax and not change anything. I'm just going to do exactly what I did before. But you know, he's at one point he said, like, I think I was moving slow in like the first hour, and I don't know why. What was I doing?
Right.
So his croissants, like, you know, apparently the tastes were really good. Like the cinnamon was apparently really, really good. I feel like the color of the pastries all ended up being like darker than I would have anticipated being good. I know like Georgie's
were
a little bit, you know, Paul said she scorched them, but like, I think that even some of the other, like even Jill's were like, I was like, why are they like bright orange?
Like, right. And yet they like were still golden. Doughy inside. Yeah. So that's not good.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not what they were going for.
I mean, and again, I think it's the chemical composition changing of the proof that allows for you to cook it at those higher temperatures for a little bit longer. And you know, and doesn't end up with that doughy mixture. I feel like I've yapped a lot.
I think Georgie, it seemed like everything was going really well, and until about the end, she seemed to run out of a little bit of time.
Right.
And hers were a little doughy in the middle, and also, like you said, Greg, a little unevenly baked, because some of them did look scorched, but then the others seemed fine. So I don't know why that would happen.
It looked like there was a heat distribution in her oven, because she pulled out her tray and like the back half or the back end looked burned or closer to burned, and the front end were fine. Which I know that happens, right? They're ovens. Like, you're not perfectly distributed heat, but it was very definitive when she pulled out that tray.
I came out of the signature thinking Christian had really kind of came out on top.
Yeah, my numbers on it were Christian 1, Georgie 2, Jill 3, and Dylan 4.
I think that's probably right. I think for some reason, I thought on first watch, I was really surprised at the outcome. And I had it in my mind that Georgie hadn't done as well. But when I looked back on it on second watch, I think it was just that Georgie was in her head. And she was professing doubts and very concerned about each step. But the finished product was great, you know? I mean, certainly flawed, but I think her finished products came out really well.
Oh, that coffee hazelnut pinwheel, one, was beautiful, and two, those are some definitive flavors that are in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, I would agree with that assessment. As far as like the ranking, I do think Christian, you know, I mean, they all struggled. They all seem to be underproved. They all seem to have lost either some of their lamination or maybe weren't quite as baked in the middle. So they were all, I feel, pretty level. But I think if you have to look and say who came out more on top, I think Christian did a little more. And I think it was probably due to his unique flavors. You know, it's something Christian's known for, is like Paul said, is kind of out of the box flavors, and they went really well together, and it was something unexpected, and it's really the time to do something a little different. I mean, that goes well, but different and kind of out of the box. You want to kind of show your skills and give them something a little different to stand out.
They like to be surprised.
They do.
In a good way, though.
In a good way. Yeah, I think they've had some not so great surprises before in the past.
That's true.
Yeah, good point. Very good point. In a good way. So, I mean, and I think that's what Georgie was trying to do with her her lamination technique that she had, which I thought was really beautiful. I didn't quite understand it when she was explaining it. And then when she started to do it, I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then when I saw the finished product, I was like, oh, that's really beautiful. And she had a point. She's like, I have to do something to kind of stand out a little bit. And, you know, you do. You have to kind of push yourself or, you know, get recognized to get through to the finals. So I would agree with that assessment.
It does make me wonder, though, that with not her failure, but with the issues that she had, did the cross lamination and the goal, like the lofty goal of that, actually show in the finished product? Like, if it's still doughy in the middle, are you getting that cross lamination? Like, is it better? Is the texture more defined? Or did you waste that time because it wasn't cooked in the middle? Did you just lose any advantage you would have had you done it correctly? It's like doing a triple back lutz or whatever. Okay, sure, it's harder, but only if you land it do you get credit for it. And I didn't hear anything besides at the beginning of the signature with regard to, oh, that's like, I didn't hear Paul or Prue or anybody say, oh, that cross lamination is fantastic or whatever.
Yeah.
It was just a matter of, oh, this is, you know, these are your issues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Well,
yeah,
that was a waste of goddamn time.
Right.
And sometimes it is. Sometimes they really try to shoot for the, I'm not saying these bakers in particular, I'm just saying in general, bakers on Bake Off sometimes get themselves in quite a pickle by, oh, I'm going to do this extra special technique or this extra special thing. And I mean, we've seen it fail. Not that this was a complete failure, but yeah, like you said, was it maybe a little bit of a time waster if she had put that time to something else?
Prove them more with regular lamination and had them great.
Right. Maybe.
If there's one thing we learn from Bake Off is like the proving time, right? You know, that proving time will get you every time.
Right.
Of course, they're under such a time limit.
Of course.
You know, and Dylan was like, was it the signature when he's like, is it true that Paul can do this in this time allotted? You know, what is he?
He's the magic man. And then he popped in front of the camera. And that was really funny.
Oh, so funny. That little shot in front of the camera. I laughed so hard. I love that they left that in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I'm like, well, you know, Paul's got how many years on you, kid, you know, but yeah, so there is the time thing. If they start running behind, you're just not going to get that proving time. But boy, if there's one thing I ever learned, if I'm baking something, I'm like, you make sure you leave in enough time to prove.
Yes.
One thing we haven't mentioned yet, and before we move on from the signature, I definitively want to mention it. Christian's other flavor, which was the saffron rhubarb, that I did not discover rhubarb until like maybe 10 years ago, and
same,
I am still not convinced that it like of its the good goodness, like the good qualities of it, but I also have not had like full cooked rhubarb mixed in with, you know, with something. So it's always been like a strawberry rhubarb pie, and it's typically, you know, mixed together very well. But getting a chunk of rhubarb and whatever tang that is, I'm interested to try that.
They liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was well-deserved because it looked very, very good. And the description of the tartness of the rhubarb made me go, I am now salivating. All right.
That's
probably a good sign.
I would say so. All right. Well, let's talk about the technical challenge, which for this challenge was an opera cake. They had to make this gâteau opera, aka the opera cake. They were looking for even layers with this mini layered cake, and featured coffee, chocolate ganache, with its layers of Gioconda sponge. looked yummy again with more coffee flavored things.
And, yeah, it did look really good. The chocolate on top looked amazing. It was 8 layers. I thought it was funny. They said it was set by Patisserie Paul. That was great. And they all did really well, I thought. I thought when I saw the cake in its completed form, you know, where Paul and Prue are tasting it, I was like, wow, that looks like it would be really hard to make all those layers. But they all did really well. I thought they looked really good. And none of, you know, there were no big flaws. Of course, they have to rank it. But I didn't think anybody, like, you know, normally the technical, you usually have somebody who really doesn't do great. And I thought they all did decently.
Well, so this is what I wanted to talk about with regard to the technical. I'll tell you what, you put this out in week two or week three, this is a delicate thing. And, you know, just Paul talking about, you know, in order to avoid the smear, you have to use a hot knife to cut. I mean, and Georgie, you know, mentioned that when she was trimming the sides. I was just like, man, like, you would end up with, you know, if you had, you know, 9 or 10 of these, you would end up, you know, half of them would be smeared because it's not something that, you know, I mean, apparently nobody in the tent had made one before.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, it sounded delicious, but then the very bare instructions, if you don't know what a creme au beurre is, that's just French buttercream. Mm-hmm. So instead of, you know, what is it? Instead of a rising agent, there's just egg whites that you're, and then Georgie is like looking at whatever everybody else is doing, and Christian and Dylan are just like, yep, and this is how you whip, you know, you whip all egg whites by themselves, and then you're gonna, yeah, and then Noel's like, so you made that there, and then you're making this here, and then you're gonna mix them together, but why would you do that? I thought it was a really good function of that to explain why the, you know, why you needed to do those things.
Yeah, and I thought that Georgie really got in her head, and she was just having trouble with, I don't think it was that the directions weren't clear or anything. I think, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, you're under the clock, you know, you're under the gun, you got to do this, and all of a sudden, like, your reading comprehension is gone, and I think she was just really struggling. And it was sweet the way Allison and Noel both seemed to help her. And I noticed on the top of the instructions, they showed the instruction sheet for a second, and it said, like, don't get input from any other bakers on this, in very big letters.
Oh, wow.
And
see that.
I wondered if that was new, because I guess maybe the technical is different than the other bakes, because we do see them helping each other.
Sure.
But maybe in the technical, you're just not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
But you definitely see them looking around like, what are they doing? I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Not keeping their eyes on their own paper sometimes. Yeah. Kind of looking around like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
How are they doing that technique? Like, I've never done that. So what are they doing? Yeah. You'll see that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Which, how can you stop that? You know, they're right. All in this. So I it's probably the looking, like, sometimes it'll be like, oh, they're still mixing, or they've already got theirs going in the oven and I'm still over here mixing or something.
Right.
So I feel like you can't eliminate that entirely, but I think for sure it would be like, do you know how to make this kind of sponge? I've never made this, you know?
Right.
Probably can't go so far as to that, but, you know, I think, and you're right, I think when you're under the pressure, and I know Georgie was already, I think, being really hard on herself during the signature. And then so going into the technical, I think she was already a little in that headspace. And I totally could see where she would have made that mistake, where there was the break in the page. And it looked like right in the middle of that, like, the ingredients for the sponge, there's that break, and like, oh, by the way, you also need these things. Like, it was a continuation. That's not how you would, I mean, unless you just really stopped to read it thoroughly beforehand or something and caught it, as you're just going through there step by step, it would make, you know, I don't know, you're, for me anyway, if I'm reading something like that, a break in the page in different lettering tells me that it's something different, right? Like right. you're, that's like the next step or something separate. So it made sense to me why she made that, you know, that oversight there. And I felt so terrible for her. And I was like, oh my gosh, is she really going to quit? Like, it made me curious, like what, how far do they let them go where they're just like, that's it, I'm done, I quit. And I'm like, oh, do they just take that and be like, okay, you're done? Or is it like, okay, it's fine, take a deep breath. You're, you know, think about that before, I mean, you can just, well, you know.
And they edited it together so that it looked like all of the other bakers were like glancing over in concern.
Yeah.
And I you could take that whenever, like, oh, something loud happened. Oh, I mean, and you mm-hmm. look, and it wouldn't necessarily have been that, but they did edit it together so that it was very specifically like, oh, they all are noticing that she's starting to lose her shit. Yeah, I mean, when she was like, that's it, I'm just going to stand here and then just stand here till it's done. This was like,
it's so hard to watch.
Yeah, I loved at the end as she was like, you know, after Allison talked with her and she was like, I was just gonna stand here until I was done. What was wrong with me?
I love that she, yeah, exactly. I love that she had a good sense of humor about it later, like once Allison, and I love that. I'm like you, Wendy. I just thought that was awesome. I want a big hug from Allison. Like, she just looks like she is just a great pep talk person and try to get help you move into a good mind space, and just like a big Allison hug just seems like the most warm thing ever. So I would love that. I would just love like to summon her and say, can I just please get a hug? That sounds like an amazing thing right now. Feeling kind of down right now. So I love that. I thought that was a beautiful moment that she went over there and helped her, you know, kind of pull out of that. But then I also loved later when Georgie was joking about it, when she's just like, you know, kind of mocking herself, like, just gonna stand here and not present anything. I was like, good for you, Georgie. I was so happy for her that she, you know, turned that around. Cause I thought, I was sitting there, I was like, no, do not just stand there yeah, and not present any,
nothing.
Like, even if you completely wreck it, like, even mm-hmm. if your sponge is completely ruined and it's mm-hmm. not going to be right, please don't not present something, like, at least carry on. And, you know, so I was glad that she did turn that around. And I know she got last in the technical, but again, I think they, like you said, Wendy, they were all really good, but at the end of the day, they do have to kind of rank them, you know, in a certain way. So I think yeah. they were all pretty even.
Well, and I think very specifically, Dylan did have the most even layers, and
yeah.
the coffee level was punchy enough that they, like, I think that there was a definitive taste differential between, I think that Christian had good coffee flavor, but the layers weren't quite even. I think mm-hmm. Jill had good layers, but the coffee was, I mean, she's
flavored, she's not the coffee
flavored,
person.
Flavored coffee to taste. What? I can't taste coffee. That was pretty comical. And I think that's, I think he was definitively, without having tasted it, the best. But I think that everybody had decent components to what they were doing. Nobody turned in a complete and utter, you know, shit show. So.
Yeah, right. So yeah, that was a technical. So again, Dylan came out first, Jill second, Christian third, and Georgie fourth in the technical, which can be important, especially now when we're looking at, you know, you're in the semifinals and everyone's doing really well, or, you know, they're all having mistakes and they're really looking at all the things to, mm-hmm. to try to come up with who's going to be eliminated, who might be star baker. So now the technicals really start to count, for something.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So funnily enough, if you look at, like, and it's easy to do with four, right? But if you look at the, hey, lowest score is doing the best, right? So number one through number four. So after the technical, Christian or Christian has a four. Jill has a five. Dylan has a five. And Georgie has a six.
Hmm.
So it's not like somebody did really well in both. It was, they're all, you know, 2 points apart from top to bottom. And like, there's not like somebody was number one and number two. And I get they don't actually rank, but based on, you know, what we had talked about. So you're like, okay, so yeah, it again comes down to the showstopper. And boy, did they deliver.
Yes. Let's talk about the showstopper, because I couldn't take my eyes off it. I just thought they were absolutely beautiful. So the showstopper, they were tasked to make fruit-shaped entremets. It had to be tricky. I just kept looking at these like, how the heck are they? Even though I'm watching them, I'm literally watching them put together. And I'm like, just how are you doing that? It was just amazing. So they had to make 12 fruit-shaped entremets, presenting them in a creative way, and they were going to be tested on their flavors as well as their flair. So Prue, you know, was like, if you're going to make a tangerine entremet, then it should look like a tangerine, it should taste like a tangerine. So quite a challenge for our bakers. But before we jump into the bakers, I have one question that has to do with our Boston trip a ways back, and
I
y'all stopped.
I was thinking the same thing.
Me too.
I was thinking
okay.
Same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
This was an
entremet. I'm right there with you.
Thank you. That's where my mind went when they were saying entremet. And then as I'm seeing them, the bakers put them together and how they're produced, and I'm like, did we have an entremet? Is that what we had in Boston?
I think we
this
absolutely
beautiful
did. Yeah.
Apple shaped entremet.
Yeah.
When you guys opened up that box, because both of you went to go get it, I was showing up a little later, and y'all opened that box, and I was like, that looks like a freaking apple. It was like one of the most beautiful apples I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, the geometric apple. It was stunning.
And I didn't know what to expect when we got it. Like,
yeah,
I didn't know if it was apple inside or, you know, but it wasn't, obviously. It was just like this. And it was amazing. Yeah. It tasted, I'm not even sure, did it taste like apple?
It did. Because it was,
okay.
it was apple mousse.
Yeah.
It was apple mousse. And then they had the not granola, but like the graham cracker in the middle, like just like, you know, like Christian had like the layer of basil jam or whatever. But yeah, it was the foam, the apple flavored foam. And then I think there might have been a little bit of apple in the middle, along with like almost like an apple crumble center. And I felt the exact same way. I was like, oh, that was an entremet. Okay.
Yeah, I had at the time I had no idea. I mean, it was delicious. And I'm like, whatever this is, it's delicious. It's beautiful. But I don't know. I'm just not educated in, you know, French patisserie at all. I mean, I love seeing it and hearing about it, but I'm not enough to know that's what it was. But immediately when they started making these, I was like, I think that's what we had. How amazing. A little throwback there. We've got a beautiful picture of that. I know we shared that way back after that trip, posted it on our page. If y'all want to see that beautiful little work of art, it is on our page back there if you want to scroll through.
It's funny because I was actually in Boston last Sunday with Jill, and we were walking down Newbury Street, and or maybe street, whatever that section of town is. I was like, I feel like that bakery's around here somewhere. I kind of, we didn't have time to like go hunt it down or whatever, but I very specifically was like, I was walking through, I was like, is it down there? I know it was down below. It was in like one of the lower levels of shops. So.
Yeah, I remember it, but I couldn't find it for the life of me, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was a great experience. And to be able to share with you guys was fantastic.
Yeah, and that little place that we sat and ate, that was really nice too. Yeah.
Yeah, next to the park.
Yep.
It was awesome. It was a great trip all around.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. So awesome.
One of my highlights.
Definitely.
Of like my life.
agree. Yes,
I agree that that was in fact an entremet, even if we didn't know it at the time.
Yes.
Didn't know it at the time, but now I think we can confirm. That's that's where my brain went, and I was like, I'm going to talk to you guys about it and just
see if I'm definitely
you know, I'm way off here. So we can say that we've had one.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
Yeah. And I just like with the way they described it when they said what it was, I was really amazed and at what the outcomes were. Like I would never have thought that's what they would end up putting out. It was amazing.
They were all just absolutely exquisite and sounded delicious.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that, like, I do think that Jill kind of suffered from the thickness of her mirror glaze. And the fact that the definition didn't come through nearly as much as everybody else, because I'll tell you what, those blackberries, the lemons, the sour apples, the avocado, the orange, like all of them looked exactly like those fruits.
Yeah, I really liked hers. I was surprised. Yeah.
I'm not saying they weren't good. I was just saying that I think she suffered a little bit because the mousse, the frozen mousse, was in fact textured like a strawberry, but the mirror glaze was so thick that you couldn't see that definition.
Right. And couldn't see like those seeds, like strawberry seeds.
That's true.
Yeah, I was wondering if maybe she was like, oh, I'll just toss a couple of not pepper, but you know, toss something on there to give it maybe a couple of poppy seeds or something like that to give it the texture that, and I'm not saying that would have saved her. I'm just saying that that might have given a little bit more of that illusion.
I think Jill, when I first watched this episode, I was like, oh, Jill got robbed. That shouldn't have happened. But then when I went back and watched it a second time, I was like, okay, she did struggle in the other two more than I had remembered. And I think she also suffered from, she played it a little too safe maybe, and she was admitted that patisserie was not her strong point, and so I think it probably wasn't anything she put out. It's just that like they were so amazed with Dylan and Christiane's, you know, what Georgie's. They put out.
I think that very specifically, and again, I'm not going to say that hers was safe. Mm-hmm. I think that it was maybe less complex.
Yes,
but
that's what
not,
I mean.
Yeah, it was. I like, and they did say like, oh, you know, she's going a little bit safe. But I was like, I have to disagree with the safeness. That
it didn't look safe.
those chocolate covered strawberry entremets looked amazing. They looked exactly as you would get them from a chocolate shop that like with the almost like piping or whatever she did to the chocolate, it looked phenomenal. But I do think the idea that she only had one style that she made and she just went from strawberry to chocolate covered strawberry and everybody else had two specifically different flavors.
Yeah.
And then you did have a couple of those extra fancy elements between Christiane's lemon shortbread tree with
which
the
was
individual
amazing.
Leaves, which was phenomenal.
Yes.
And then the avocado pit or stone that Dylan did.
Yeah.
And then Georgie, the texture of the blueberries and the lemon looked amazing. That was the one that looked most like what we had, where it was texture. Like Dylan's actually looked like an avocado, which to me was bonkers. But
I know it really was. Like I don't even know how you do that. And I watched him do it.
Yeah.
But the spray that Georgie put on that kind of gave it like a bit of a textured matte finish. I think that those are the specific things that, again, didn't do Jill in, but just the other people, the other bakers exceeded her.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, obviously what she did was exquisite and beautiful and also tasted amazing. You know, Prue said she wanted to gobble all of them up. So I think that's a really great compliment. But I do think that as far as what the other bakers put out, they just a little more there, you know, with the, like you said, with the those finishing touches on some of those fruits, as well as making two different ones, because she had the strawberries where everyone else had two different types of fruits that they were doing. But I mean, she still did amazing, I think, for a challenge that she knew she probably wasn't going to do very well. And I think that she kind of knew that. And she had such a great attitude,
about it. And that's the thing, right? Is that each one of the other bakers had very specific challenges that they had to overcome. And if she played it, quote unquote, safe, and she did these very well, and they had any one of those didn't turn out amazing, she's in.
Yeah, right. Like, yeah, absolutely right.
Yeah, you know, I'm not saying it was she didn't lay it up, but you know, as in golf, where you know, you say, "Hey, I'll take par," and so you know, everybody else just birdied or eagled, you know, and that's just the way that it is sometimes, right? You do the thing that you know that you can do. And so other people take risks and succeed, and a lot of the time they don't succeed, and then you are able to get into, you know, whatever it is. But
yeah. And it looked like it was touch and go for a little. Like I was worried for Georgie there for a little bit when she had frozen her mousse, and so when she was trying to press her little sponges, and she couldn't press because her mousse was frozen, and I was just like, oh no, but. Somehow, I mean, again, we only can see what they present us when they edit. Somehow she still got it to look and taste amazing and presented, you know, beautifully. So, you know, whatever she did worked, but I was just like, oh my gosh, you know, somebody might flop. And then here's Dylan running around with his avocados that two about fell off the thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh,
crazy.
Oh my, that was so stressful.
Oh, and then that one orange where he dumped it in the sink. Yeah.
They just throw them, like throwing things around, like pulling a cake out of the oven, and they're just like, gosh. And, you know, here's me like gingerly treating my things,
I know, even in my small kitchen, I can't even like just make it from the stove to like just delicately turn around to my counter to like put my baking sheet or just whatever it is down. Like I'm going to trip. I'm going to fall or I'm going to lean it too far to the side. Something bad's going to happen in just my little pivot that I have to do, much less what they're doing.
Well, going back to Boston, right? When we were doing grilled cheeses, these are grilled cheeses. They're not for competition. They're just to make, like, we were wildly careful to not drop things or move things or whatever. And like, and these, they're just like,
I know.
I'm like, oh my God, what are you guys doing? You're driving me bonkers here. Just watching you guys.
Grilled cheeses are really good too, Craig. Just got to tell you again.
Thank you.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details. Save big money
at Menards. But yeah, they, I'm just like, oh my gosh, somebody's going to lose a couple of fruit. You know, you have to, cause they had to make 12 and Dylan was short because he had just thrown that one in the sink. And he even said, he's like, I don't know why I did that. I could have still used that.
Yeah. Well, and then he went, apparently he had, I mean, and again, editing magic, I get it, but like, they're like, I'll put this back in the freezer. You have 5 minutes left. What? Five minutes. It's
like, so stressful.
Yeah, it's stressful just to watch.
I know.
I really could feel like Noel and Allison when he's like, Noel's like, it's so tense. Like, I can't hardly breathe. And I'm like, when he said that, I kind of checked in with myself and I'm like, I'm holding my breath. Like, I'm not even.
That's one of the notes I made, is that the show, and I don't mean this as a criticism, but the show this week did not feel as light and jokey as it normally does, because the stakes are so high. They've worked so hard and come so far, and this is it. Like, these are the finals. Mm-hmm. So I definitely felt the stress and the tension in the tent.
Well, and they didn't have a comical opening.
Yeah.
They didn't have like a Welcome to the Great British Baking Show off, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, when I watched it the first time, I was like, oh, I don't remember what that was. I'm looking forward to watching it again. When I watched it the second time, I was like, oh, I don't remember what it was because it wasn't there. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. And they've had good ones this year too. So, a little bit of a bummer, but I get it. It's finals and all the time goes to that, but they've had some, I thought, really funny ones this year. So
I'm telling you, that 70s one was the best.
Yeah, that was good.
Really good. It's really good.
Was that the Barbie one? The opening of the first
one? Yeah. I think the first episode. I mean,
and that was goofy, but very comical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Prue is, Crazy weird Barbie.
Yeah, weird Barbie.
It was just everything.
Yeah.
Oh, so as far as these fruit entremets, Jill had her strawberries, which we've talked about. Georgie had blackberries and lemons, which just looked amazing and flavors that I love. But I her lemons, I think I would have really wanted to try. She had limoncello in there, which big fan. Paul seemed to really like it too. That looked very yummy.
And the blackberry had whiskey, like the mm-hmm. Welsh whiskey. I absolutely thought of Gemma when she was yelling in Welsh at the end. She's like, the Welsh are still in it. Pretty good.
Shout out to our friend Gemma.
Yes.
And then Dylan's avocados and oranges. We've talked about his even the pit inside the avocados. I mean, this dude, he just, I don't know how he does it. It's like, dude, you're 20. How are so you doing this?
Thoughtful and ambitious, and
a chocolate shoe bun covered in caramel. And I mean, it sounds delicious. But here's the thing that throws me a little bit, right? I'm not a huge avocado fan. And to make an avocado mousse, I'm like, oh God, I just don't know that I would enjoy that. But then apparently he mixed in pistachio flavoring with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I do enjoy pistachio flavor and texture.
I think you have to try it because at Epcot in the, mm-hmm. how they have the world showcase with all the countries in Mexico, there's this famous avocado margarita, which doesn't sound good, right?
No.
But it's amazing. And it's like this green creamy drink, which doesn't look that appealing, but it works somehow. That's all I can tell you, is it works and it's delicious. And it's the same thing. Like, I do like avocado but still, I wouldn't think I would like that, like avocado mousse. It's not something you'd think of, but I bet it's really good.
I'm sure that it was delicious. But avocado are not like eggs for me. They're not like, but mousse is a little not really up my alley because of the light, fluffy texture.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I'd be very, especially between the pit and the pistachio. I was like, oh, and I think it was funny that Prue was like, I feel like I'm like, it messes with your mind because I feel like I'm, oh, I have to eat some of this avocado skin.
Not
actually skin, but man, it really does feel like I am.
It really looked like, I mean, they showed close-ups of that, yeah, that we really got, and they do often with many bakes, but you really got to see that texture of those avocados and oranges and Georgie's blackberries and lemons. And it was just stunning how close they look like real fruit.
I mean, and his orange and white chocolate, like almost like a marmalade on the inside. Oh God, like that sounded phenomenal as well.
Delish.
All that citrus. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same. And then Christiane's lemons and apples, which Prue said was staggeringly beautiful, and his flavors, you know, they really loved. And Paul said he created something really elegant, which a lot of praise. You can't get much better. And he even went the extra mile and had that tree. That tree was really beautiful, kind of, you know, really putting that presentation, you know, over the top, which you got to have.
So, okay, so the lemon was, you know, lemon mousse, but then the line of basil gel and bergamot. And I didn't quite get what bergamot is. I know that I've smelled it before, but I'm not sure, like, what flavor that is. Do you guys know?
Is it like a nougat or something? And I could be completely off.
I don't, like, I guess I could Google it.
Yeah.
But like, they even said it in it. I was like, and oh, like, okay, that's basil, what it is, but now I can't remember it.
Basil gel doesn't sound good, but I love basil. I put it in everything.
Give me a caprese salad any day.
I usually have a basil plant in my house and outside, and I'm always picking off of those and throwing it in anything I think will be okay. But I would have liked the opportunity to try that, because I think Christiane was kind of the dark horse in all of this. Like, he started out kind of slow, but has built up, and he's always had very inventive, ambitious flavor profiles.
Well, it's funny. I was actually going, I went back and listened to us. And I think it was week two, which was, I thought was pastry week. And that was when he had the puppet show and the little rotating thing. And, and like, even there he had like, and then I think for Halloween, he did like a stained glass window. And I mean, he's really got some strong techniques. And then you mix that with the challenging flavors, or the, not necessarily challenging, but like the flavors that challenge the norms. I think he's got a real shot at wowing people in the final.
I agree.
But I wanted to address his base, which was the pistachio d'aquois biscuit. And I want to try that. Like, all of his things were on those, and I was like, oh my God, like that sounds delicious. Give me some pistachio shortbread.
Yep.
Yum.
Does sound,
I love pistachio. Delicious. I remember when I thought I didn't like pistachio and I didn't really care for baklava, I went and had pistachio baklava somewhere. And I was like, okay, I've changed my mind about both those things, because it was like the most amazing thing ever.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I looked up bergamot because, you know, we have to. So it is a citrus fruit with a sharp, tart, and acidic flavor. They said the taste has a strong citrus flavor with a sour zing. Some say it tastes like a cross between a lemon and a lime. And it says it's not eaten fresh because it's extremely sour. Instead, the rind or zest is used to extract essential oils. I guess it's used in Earl Grey tea, used in cooking and baking.
Oh, Earl Grey tea. That's what he was saying that it tasted like.
Huh. Mm. Well, I love that. I don't really care for coffee flavored stuff that much, but I've had some chai and some tea and things like that flavored. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely interested. I mean, in Britain, tea, So yeah, everybody'd be like, oh yeah, Earl Grey. That's what I'm tasting right now.
I thought all of the things that they made to put their entremets in all looked really great. The tree, Georgie did a braided chocolate basket that was just amazing. What did Dylan do?
Oh, he did the nougatine basket.
Yeah.
Crate.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like it broke on one side. Like he did have a piece missing from it or something, it looked like, on the side. So it looked a little incomplete, but I don't know if they noticed or he got really docked for that or anything. But yep, he had a little basket.
And Jill did a big cookie, right? Everything was on a cookie that had the key shapes.
Yeah, the keys.
So they all like went that extra mile, I guess.
Right.
And I thought those were really nice. I did think Georgie's was the one that pleased me the most. It was so perfect looking.
It looked like a wicker basket.
Yeah, it really did.
Crazy.
Threw that on the side.
I say, let me just whip up this basket real quick.
Yeah.
I'm just, just stunning the amount of talent these folks have. Just beautiful. Beautiful ideas and how they're able to execute them. I'm like, I could think of something really great, but it's going to look like just a pile of dough on my kitchen counter.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else to say about the showstoppers?
I think I have said all of the things. So I think
I think I have said all the things.
Okay. So this week, Christian was not the bridesmaid. He actually was Star Baker, his first Baker.
And if you're going to peek, then now's the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time. Absolutely. So, yep, Christian got Star Baker in this week's challenges. And then, unfortunately, Jill had to go home. But she, like I said earlier, had a really great attitude about it. She was like, it's totally fine. I'm so okay with this. And she got a nice consolation prize in one of those mixing bowls.
Yeah.
She got her lavender bowl.
Yeah. And I think she was excited to have come so far. She really, I think, was worried about patisserie week because she said it's not common up in the northern regions. And we've heard her talk about being a northern girl all season. Mm-hmm. And that really helped her in a lot more of the more rustic bakes that she had. So it's real sad. I think she started out she was kind of quiet and she wasn't as noticed as some of the others. But little by little, she really came out of her shell and showed us what she had.
Yeah. Yeah, she did. She always quite enjoyable, always had, good attitude and always funny.
Yep. And I still feel like it's anybody's game.
It really is. I think that like anybody could do it.
Yeah.
I think any one of them, right? Georgie, Christian, or Dylan, any one of them has every capability of doing so. I think what's going to happen is we're either going to get, as I mentioned earlier, one of them will fall down, or one of these risks or a number of these risks will pay off.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think that I don't think it will be clear, but I do think that it will be a matter of, oh, this person went the extra mile, or this person tried to bit off more than they could chew or messed something up or something like that. And that's why they didn't make it.
Well, I thought it was really interesting because I'm sure it might come into play for the finals. Something while they were talking around the table was, you know, because they always seem to be so close each challenge because they're just like, you know, like you were saying, Greg, oh, just going to come down to the showstopper again. But they had talked about we might have to go back to previous bakes and challenges, right? To like if it's that close, we're going to have to then kind of
last week or week before last.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. yeah, you called that out. So I was like, oh, well, here they're kind of confirming it.
Yeah, I do think they kind of consider that, like, what kind of season has this person had when it comes down to minuscule differences between right. folks.
Yeah.
But when, which of you walked first?
Right. That's true.
That's funny. All right. Yeah, I think it was great. I can't wait for next week to see what we get from there. So it looks like next week we'll have the finals. They said signature scones, afternoon tea, and tiered celebration cakes. So that'll be fun.
Oh man, that sounds amazing. You will have 12 hours for each challenge.
I'm sure they wish they did. Yeah. They do tend to give them more time in the finals to really like perfect. So they do get a little bit more leeway, but that's funny. If only. All right.
I do want to say, so we discussed it last week with the banoffee pie, and I said that I would take on the challenge. Creating a banoffee pie. And so this was like the first from scratch thing I've ever made.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Thanks. It was just as difficult as it's funny. I was looking at the thing online, the recipe online, and it said difficulty needs skill. And I was like, well, crap.
I mean, that's a very relative term. Skill. Yeah, I have skill.
But so yeah, I made my first short crust pastry from hand. I made the caramel cream, or I don't know if caramel just always has cream in it, or if I don't know. But I made that. I think I may have burned it a little bit, and then and this took me because I like did the crust during the day, and then did the fillings at night, the filling and topping at night. So it was, for me, it was like a 10-hour challenge, not a 2-hour and 15-minute one. But it was funny because it says like, oh, you know, time 35 minutes. I was like, oh, you're high, like 35 minutes.
To prepare it, you mean?
Yeah,
I
was like, what?
Yeah,
you're insane. Maybe Paul Hollywood, you know, after he's made 1,000 banoffee pies, maybe that would take him that long. But when I was going to whip the cream, I don't have like a mixer, because first thing I've ever really baked, and outside of like apple pies, and so I was like manually doing it with a whisk. So I just, in this bowl, sitting in front of the TV, watching something, I was just like, whip, 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 whip. I mean, I swear it was like 15 to 20 minutes of me whipping this. And I was just like, is this ever going to happen?
Maybe you might need to get a hand mixer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so like, and then if like, then I was just like, oh, wait, I'm Stiff Peaks. Oh my gosh. It actually happened.
You did that by hand. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, with
that hand whisk. That's hard.
That's hard, Greg.
Very specifically, I was like, when it said like to crumble the butter into the dry stuff until you have small flakes. I was like, I do not have the hand and wrist strength. By the end, my hands were sore.
Yeah.
Trying to do it. But it was pretty cool.
I tried to make a cake on vacation, and I didn't have a hand mixer at the rental that we were at. And I was like, how hard could it be? It's hard.
It's hard.
It is.
I learned. Don't know
that's achievable, just hand mixing. Golly. Yeah. Well, the pictures that you showed, Greg, I mean, it looked stunning. And it looked delicious.
Thank you.
I would definitely try it.
Oh yeah.
I burned the caramel a little bit, but I'm eating the crap out of it. My kids were not as big a fan. Kate in particular spat out her banana when she got to it. She was like, I don't want any more.
But I'm sorry.
No, I mean, it's fine. I had more for me. Although now I do still have half of a super rich banoffee pie in the fridge. And I'm like, it's not that I don't want to eat it, but man,
it's a lot. Yeah.
It's a lot. It's very rich. But man, I now want to taste like, I don't want to say a real one, but I want to taste like a professionally made one because I want to see what the difference is.
Right. Well, nicely done, I say, and good for you for trying something a little out of your comfort zone and doing something. Hey, that'll just kind of encourage you to do something.
It does. Now I'm the next challenge. Oh, I don't think I'm going to make. I don't think I'm going to make whatever they made with the egg whites. What was that? That wasn't the dakwa. That was the.
In this episode, it was a jacquande sponge.
I'm not going to make a jacquande. I might try like a Genoa.
Which looked good. It did look good.
It does look good.
Nice light sponge.
Like that opera cake. I was like, yeah. That looked good. It does. Budgy chocolate on the top.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And I don't know if I've ever had creme pat. I guess I probably have and didn't know it, right?
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat. I probably have, but just didn't know it. Again, I had a fruit-shaped entremet and didn't know the heck that was. And now a year plus, 2 years later or something, now we know what we had.
Now we can say, oh, I've had a fruit entremet. Have you?
Well, yes, I'm food cultured. Yeah, I know what that is. and you're doing some baking yourself, Wendy. It looks like you shared some things that we're coming up on the holiday season. Yeah. So that means we're baking, right?
I try to make my mother-in-law's fudge or something like it, but like I've made it and it's been amazing. And then I make it like, and I'm telling you, I make it so precisely, like I'm sifting the ingredients. I'm making sure they're measured exactly. The timing is right. I use a thermometer and like one out of three times it comes out and the other two, it just doesn't. And it either turns into like something that you need a drill to drill out a piece, which my husband and my dad gladly will do, or it comes out like it just never hardens. And so it's really tasty chocolate glop. So I think that happened again today. It didn't quite come out. I haven't tried it since I put it in the fridge, but I could just tell by the texture that it wasn't going to set right. So yeah,
I have faith. It's going to do just fine when you take it out. It's going to pull through for you.
Okay. Chocolate miracle. We'll see.
Yeah, a little chocolate miracle.
Yeah, but I'm sure it'll taste good. So,
you know, that's all that matters.
Like when it comes out gluey like that, my husband will just like dish it over vanilla ice cream.
That sounds pretty good.
Pretty good to me. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. All right. So, like I said, next week we're going to cover episode 10, the finals.
Yeah,
really looking forward to that. It should be quite entertaining. I always love the finals. We get to see everyone come back. Right. We get to see families of the finalists. So really exciting to see everyone come together and celebrate and see what everyone's been up to and see what they come up with.
Yeah,
in that final episode. So if you'd like to write in or leave us a message, you can find all of our contact information at podcastica.com. Write in and show us some pictures, what everyone else is out there baking.
Absolutely. I want to see what
gives me inspiration. I love to see and hear. I really want to do something too, but I'm kind of like, oh, I'm going to make this thing and be stuck with this big pie or cake or something. And I'm like, what am I going to do with this whole thing? I don't have enough family to like give it to. So, kind of holds me back a little bit, but I would love to see and hear what everyone else is doing. So hope you write in and let us know what you think about these episodes of Bake Off if you've watched and what you think about the finale.
While you're there, be sure to check out our other shows. What's coming up?
I don't even know. What is coming up? I feel like I'm out of the loop.
I think they're finishing.
Oh, Cobra Kai just came out.
Mm-hmm. I'm embarrassed. I should probably know that because I'm on that.
And that's Netflix, right? So they're all out at once.
Well, this last season, they are doing something a little different. They took this final season and they're breaking it into three parts. So part one has already aired. So those first five episodes are there. Actually, they're all there. I'm on week by week, right? We're doing Netflix and we do week by week with Cobra Kai. But part one already came out. Part two just came out a few weeks ago. So, and then part three comes out sometime in 2025. We don't have the dates. They haven't confirmed. But I think Jason is guessing it's going to be spring 2025, only because they were holding off releasing that new Karate Kid movie that Ralph Macchio is doing. That comes out in May 2025. So if they were waiting for Cobra Kai to wrap to release that, we're kind of thinking it'll be like springtime for the last five episodes. So the first 10 are out right now. We just did episode 7.
And I feel like when it popped up in my feed, I thought it was another Daryl Dixon one because it was like in French or Spanish or being something. I was like, I haven't watched any of the Daryl Dixon. So I'm like, oh wait, this is Cobra Kai. Oh, okay. Yeah. I really got to go back and finish that or not finish, but
I think it's really thrown a lot of people off because of how they've sectioned it out like that, because we haven't really gotten a whole lot of feedback, and usually we get quite a lot of engagement, you know, because a lot of people really love the show, and I'm just like, I bet it's probably thrown people off. They're, you know, because of how they've broken it out and stuff. So that's just my guess. Maybe people aren't just really watching right now. I don't know. Or they're not listening to us. I don't know. Hope that's not true. But yeah, Cobra Kai, we're on part two of that. So definitely check that out. Myself, Jason, and Rich, we have a really fun time talking about that. What else? What else is...
We just found out that Yellow Jackets is coming back February 14th. So we're definitely going to do a recap episode versus, you know, hopes and thoughts for the next episode sometime in January. But that's still a ways off.
Yeah. So. But that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm psyched for that. Exciting.
Yeah, I know you are.
But after you do that and check out our other shows, go subscribe and leave a review for Strange Indeed. What do you have coming up on Strange Indeed next? I know that I've got a couple of hopefuls that you're going to cover.
Send them my way, because I don't know.
I'm telling you, Dark Tower is what Mike Flanagan's, but Dark Tower is what I'm looking forward to. And I know that's probably a couple years off, but.
I'd say I haven't even heard anything in a little while on that. I don't know.
Too early for Black Mirror. I love Black Mirror.
I do too. I love Black Mirror. I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Just in this weird kind of limbo right now where shows are kind of, you know, coming and going, and then everything comes all at once. Yeah. And
then you're busy for, you know, 2 years trying to catch up, and then you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad Yellow Jackets is coming out in February, because I was worried that everything would come out in the summer or the spring. So that's good. At least it's a little earlier. I suspect Handmaid's Tale will be summer.
That would make
sense.
But that
still hasn't been released, just sometime in 2025. And then The Last of Us is coming out also, we think, early 2025, but we don't know for sure.
Yeah, we still don't know.
I know.
Yeah, I'm excited. Very excited for that. Excited, and I don't know, because I know what happens, or at least as far as the game stuff anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I've not played two. I have barely finished one, so I've heard amazing things about two, but
it's an amazing game to play.
To be fair, I thought that they did an amazing job with season one and adding extra stuff in, especially with the non-Joel POV, Joel or Ellie POV stuff, like the interviews and the stuff in Nepal? No. Was it Nepal? I can't remember what country it was, but the stuff, the origination of the fungus, all of that was so super, super cool and great that they included it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did a fantastic job. Absolutely fantastic job. And the game, the second game, part two, it's absolutely beautiful. And I'm really excited for them to put that on film as well. I think they'll do a beautiful job. So really excited for that. But yeah, it'd be really great if people could just release dates. Just give you a heads up.
Make it so easier.
Allow you to plan a little bit, you know, but we don't get that. So we'll see. I honestly have no idea what we'll be doing after this, if anything, but you know, we'll be sure to let folks know what's coming for sure. So yeah, check all of that out though on podcastica.com. A lot of great stuff out there. We got a lot of great friends putting out a lot of great material. Go give them some support.
Great.
On your marks.
Get set.
Bake. From your fryer to the table, it's a quick trip for crispy fries. But how about a crosstown delivery? McCain SureCrisp fries are designed to go from fryer to container to carrier to passenger seat across town during rush hour down a shortcut that wasn't all that short to a doorstep before they hit the table. And that first bite, the crispiness speaks for itself.
Mmm.
To the last bite, McCain SureCrisp fries go the distance. See how far our fries can take your business at surecrisp.com/delivery.